COVID-19, a world in crisis. Questions and answers in this one-on-one conversation with Vista Radio Director of News, Wendy Gray.
Joining us today is Ontario Premier Doug Ford. Premier, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again, Wendy. And I'll tell you, when I'm up at the cottage, we have a place almost dead center in between Bracebridge and Huntsville. And I'm not just saying this. I'm dead serious. We always listen to Moose FM, and they just keep playing those tunes, and everyone's having a great time listening to you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you listening. I know we have limited time this morning, so let's get right into this. Premier, you've consistently said that you're considering a regional approach to reopening the province. Today, we have listeners in the province where cases total 29 in North Bay, Parry Sound, 19 in Muskoka, 8 in Halliburton, 23 in Renfrew County, and 43 in Hastings, Prince Edward counties. What is the hesitation of opening up these regions before the GTHA?
Well, we're going to have some great news over the next couple of days. Stay tuned. And we sat back, Wendy, and I sat back and I thought, okay, here's a tale of two provinces. Why should the people in the rural areas of Ontario, and geographically we're larger than Texas and California combined, and I said it's not fair that these people are being punished because of big urban centers, be it Toronto and maybe parts of Peel region, that aren't allowed to open up. So what happens is we have a panel, and it's representative of Ontario, and then they put a list together, and we forward it to our health table, and the health table consists of the chief medical officer and six other doctors from the British doctors in Canada, and then they give us the yay or the nay, and we move forward, because when we open up, we want to make sure that it's safe to open. But your listeners, we're going to have great news on, I believe, Monday or Tuesday, and we're going to expand the regional opening.
Very good. We're excited to hear about it. Premier, anecdotally, we hear from listeners that they can go and buy shoes or clothes, kitchen gadgets. They can even protest among strangers. But they can't see their families in larger groups. And this week, the state of emergency was extended for another 4 weeks, keeping the social gathering maximum to 5. You must see the contradiction in this.
Yeah, you know something, I do, and that's why we're going to be changing it, moving forward in the regional opening in the rural areas. I agree 100% with you, and there's kind of a misnomer, Wendy, that, and if you talk to any premier, and I talk to many of them almost every day, and the prime minister, everyone has to listen to their health experts. That's really what it comes down to. Yes, do we all have the powers to say, okay, doc, we aren't going to listen to you, but I don't take that approach. I take the approaches, and they're very pragmatic. They just want to be very cautious. But at the end of the day, they've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. They realize that there is a tale of two provinces, the rural area versus the big urban centers. And we have some really great, fantastic news as we released some news, I think it was today, about being able to rent your cabins and cottages, and rentals will include the Airbnbs, and just allow people to kind of go back to, the new normal to the best of their abilities. So there's a whole host of items that we're going to be rolling out on, I believe, Monday or Tuesday, and I think people are going to be extremely pleased.
Excellent. This question's a tough question to ask. The revelations about conditions in long-term care homes have been disturbing, and as you have said yourself many times, gut-wrenching. You say your party inherited a broken system from decades past. But the question remains, why did it take COVID-19 to bring those conditions to light?
Well, we started, it was the first government ever to actually make a ministry for long-term care and put a minister in charge. And we started immediately when we got into office about making sure that we built another 30,000 long-term care homes over 10 years, and we started that process because a lot of the congregate living in these homes, when they have four seniors to to a room. Once the COVID gets into these long-term care homes, it goes through there like a bushfire. Right now, we're at 14% of long-term care homes, so that's 89 out of 626 homes in Ontario have outbreaks. We're throwing everything at these homes. We have the hospitals going in there. We have inspections of over 3,000 inspections last year alone. Before even COVID, we were doing inspections in these homes. We put in a tremendous amount of money to make sure they can afford to pay for extra cleaning. And a lot of homes are very responsible, and I just don't want to paint everyone in the same brush there, because even at the height of this, 80% of the homes were being run responsibly. We've taken over homes from the ownership and the management, so we brought our people in to manage these homes. I've called for an independent commission. The Auditor General also is going to be looking into it. The Coroner's Office is going to be looking into it. The Ombudsman is going to be doing a commission. I want answers, and many politicians I talk to, one I won't name, but said, "Doug, this has been going on since Bill Davis, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do everything I can." We have the eyes of the world on all these long-term care homes, no matter if it's here or down in the U.S. or anywhere in the world, and one death is one too many, in my opinion. They showed me a chart the other day, because I always like measuring against other jurisdictions, and they showed me a chart of where we stand comparable to large U.S. states similar to ours, and even Quebec, and I'm proud to say because of the people of Ontario, all listening to the protocol and all kind of pulling in the same direction, we're ranked number one in North America with the lowest cases. We're putting a new testing program out, and that's why you see the numbers on the testing have really jumped up. We have a new tracking system. So there's a lot of things that we're doing, and we won't stop to make sure that we have a safe environment for the most vulnerable people in society here.
Premier, we know a second wave is coming. We hear it from all the medical experts, and we know that Canada has been struggling to receive even a quarter of its PPE from outside the country. But then we hear these stories of all these great Canadian and Ontario companies that are retooling to build medical equipment. But can you say with all confidence that when that second wave hits, we're going to be prepared with enough PPE in the province?
What I can tell you, I'm a lot more confident, and we're in better shape than we ever have been over 12 weeks since when it started. And now we have the capacity in the hospitals, or actually our hospitals are in better shape with the capacity issues than we ever have been in decades. We have over 23 companies that are going to be doing face masks, and large companies that we're signing contracts with a province. We put a portal together for companies to come in, and when we first opened it up, there was 25,000 companies. So as long as I'm premier, we will never, Wendy, rely on foreign governments, foreign leaders to dictate PPE to us. We have manufacturers that have switched over, and they're making millions of face shields, hand sanitizer, gowns. They'll just give you a rattle off a couple numbers for you. 17,000 of those 25,000 of those submissions have led to $586 million in purchases of critical supplies and equipment. That's 120, these are staggering numbers when I'm reading it. 121 million masks, 4 million face shields, 100 million surgical gloves, and 20.9 million gowns. So I always say there's nothing we can't do. We're an economic powerhouse in North America, Ontario. We have the manufacturing might, the engineering might, the ingenuity. And once we called out for help, the people of Ontario are incredible. They all pitched in. And even people staying at home with a sewing machine were making masks. So it's incredible. So to answer your question, we're much better prepared. But that doesn't mean you sit back. We can never take take our eye off the ball for a second on this.
Premier, I know that we had 8 minutes together, and I know we're there, and you're running tight for time today. I appreciate you taking this time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. I want to wish you and all the listeners a very healthy and safe weekend, and God bless you and your families.
For breaking news and the latest local impacts, keep listening to This Vista Radio Station.